All right. Hi, everyone. Thank you for spending your late at night, lunchtime, or mid-afternoon with me. My name is Scott Hanselman, and follow me on Twitter. And don't follow me on Google Plus because no one is there. This is 1ASP.net, and 1ASP.net is a word that we've been using, or a phrase we've been using, to describe kind of the direction we want to take ASP.net, and I want to talk a little bit about that. But first, I want to make sure that everyone understands that Microsoft doesn't care what you think around the all caps. You have to embrace the case. So I'm trying to turn this into the new marketing logo and the new marketing details for Visual Studio. Visual Studio, embrace the case. We don't care. All caps for the win. And then I pause for virtual laughter. Okay. 1ASP.net. So yeah, you can see that I'm at home. I'm not in Redmond because I work here. I do not work inside the Redmond reality distortion field with my friends. And it's a pretty good job. And this is a picture of my office. This is literally my office up in Redmond. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in the talk and some of the stuff that I've been able to build using ASP.net to work better remotely. Working remotely is pretty cool, actually. I do have pants on right now, but I'm not very happy. One of the nice things that working from home for Microsoft is the benefits are obvious. So we know that Ballmer and Goo are in the org chart here, and then there's Xbox and these other guys. But it's really important to level set and remember that Goo didn't leave ASP.net. When Goo started Azure and moved over there and took over, he took all of us with him. He took all the angle bracket related and some curly braces over there. So ASP.net and IIS and all those guys are all over in Goo's organization with him, which is pretty cool. And even though people think that I have this really cool relationship with Scott Goo, it's not nearly as bromantic as you would think. It's kind of more like this. Now, this dialog box we've all spent some time with, and I personally think that this dialog box has done a lot to hurt ASP.net. I think that this dialog box sets you up for failure. And I don't mean to like overly focus on this particular dialog box, but I just think that when you say file new project, you're ready to get some work done, and you have this image in your mind about what you want to build, and you have this idea that this great ASP.NET application that you're going to create by snapping pieces together from open source in all different locations, but then you're forced to make this decision, and then there's this artificial kind of East Coast, West Coast, Tupac, Biggie, MVC versus web forms decision you have to make. And no matter what you pick here, you're in trouble. Because no matter what you pick, we're going to probably deprecate it next version anyway. So everyone feels sad about this dialog box. This dialog box creates sadness. And I think it splinters the community. Because you know, if you go and talk to PHP folks, or you go and talk to Rails folks, they're not being mean to each other or complaining or talking down to people who use one view engine or another, or one in-memory database or another. They, you know, they love Rails, so they're excited about Rails. So I've decided that I like ASP.NET. I like all aspects of ASP.NET, and the ones that I don't like, I don't use. So I'm imagining a world where this dialog box was a little bit different, and we'll talk about that. Now, I think that it's important to remember that things have changed, and we're not your father's Microsoft, and while many Microsoft people in different organizations that I won't say the names of the organizations, we don't necessarily feel like we trust them. I hope that you guys feel that the work that that Phil and Mads and Damien and Scott Hunter and all these guys have done are transparent. We focus on transparency. We try to focus on transparency. We tell you exactly what's going on. We're not hiding anything, and we are not... are we having trouble? Are we having big lag issues? Let me get away from here and see if that's better. Live meeting lags horribly. Well, why don't we... Let's remove my video, and let's see if that improves it. Okay, so let's just give it a moment to maybe my animated GIFs have destroyed the world. My uplink bandwidth is 35 megabits, so rest assured it's not me. Okay? Is that better, guys? People are saying, don't scroll. Whatever you do, don't scroll. I'm just afraid to move now. Somewhere around 1,000, everything goes to heck. Okay, so things, audio is getting better now. Okay, good. Well, I've recorded everything on Camtasia, I think. So at the very least, you can go back and hear my bad jokes later. There is not an overflow because we haven't overflowed this room yet. Okay, so you get this idea of that you want to build something in ASP.NET, and you can visualize it, and it's going to be amazing, and then you end up building something that doesn't quite look like what you imagined. And you don't really know who you should blame for that that impedance mismatch. And it all just adds up into making you feel bad. And I don't want to work on a framework or a tool or a Visual Studio IDE that makes people feel bad. So we're changing the way that we're delivering software in the ASP.NET organization, and that's going to start with 2012, and it's going to go from there. I think that here are some statements that describe what people feel like sometimes when they use ASP.NET. People feel that it's difficult to choose a framework within ASP.NET. They pick a framework and they're concerned that it's out of date, so then they're stuck with that framework. And then we don't do a good job of explaining to them what's happened with technology. So, example, people might feel like dynamic data is gone, even though it's kind of spread itself around the framework. Or they'll feel like MVC has a feature that they absolutely need to have, and they don't realize that those features already exist in web forms. We don't have a unified story, and that's a problem. People want to do the demos that we do in presentations and start small and go quickly, but then they want to be able to scale their sites and make them big without necessarily rewriting everything. The other thing is that every reasonable combination of systems should work. I was one of the first people to talk about hybrid applications, and I usually use the example of web forms and MVC as a hybrid. But I mean any combination. Web pages and web forms, or MVC and web API, anything that fits together should work. But also Entity Framework and Nancy and Hibernate and web pages. You should not be using something and then call Microsoft support and feel like you're not supported. You shouldn't mention to either a corporate Microsoft person or a local Microsoft person that, yeah, I'm building an application that's part MVC and part web forms, and then immediately have them go, oh, I don't know. Is that supported? I don't know about that. Every reasonable combination should be supported. And this model should be extendable by the community as well. Additionally, I would go so far as to say that because we've got NuGet, that I'll talk about in a minute, that we should have a situation where when Microsoft comes out with something, the community should feel like this is an opportunity for my open source project to be seen, not Microsoft has just killed my open source project. We want to compete in a fair way in NuGet with everyone else. And I want more people using more open source and more people making more open source and more people trying new things. And I want the pieces of ASP.NET to be smaller, more easily digestible, and more swappable. And I think that started with MVC, which is very swappable, and it continues with most of the ASP.NET web stack going forward. And I'm absolutely convinced that people want this. Okay, are we guys doing okay? You're very quiet in the chat room there. I want to make sure that you're at least hearing me. Otherwise, I'll just go in a Notepad and the whole thing's going to fall apart. Doing all right? All right, good. So this dialog box that I dislike so much, what if it looked a little bit different? What if it reflected what I look upon as one ASP.NET? And this is a diagram that I've talked about before and I put on my blog. But I want to make sure that you guys get it, because just the fact that you've shown up here on a virtual conference, that is a community-organized conference, puts you at the top of your game. The Dark Matter developers, they didn't even show up today. So, you know, kudos to the thousand of you that have taken the time out of your busy schedule to listen to us. you need to spread the word about this. You need to say that there is this toolkit available to us, most of which is open source. Everything here except web forms is open source. And these are the tools that you can pick from for different projects to do sites and services, all on ASP.NET. And if you don't like web forms, then don't use it. And if you dislike web API, then fine, don't use it. But know that they're available and they're ready. And we've mentioned this before, but since I've got 1,000 people in the room here, it's worth pointing out that we are going to support SignalR and bring SignalR into the fold so that SignalR will be a fully supported part of the ASP.NET. It is just as important as web API when creating modern services in on the web. So, you know, SignalR rocks, web API rocks, two of the best things that we've done lately. What if this dialog box looked a little bit like this? What if you said file new ASP.NET application and then could pick from some kind of cafeteria plan where you could say I want a little of this and I want a little of that? What if you could do that and mark favorites and you could say I want to make a new ASP.NET web application and I need OpenID and membership, I need it to work in Azure, I need it to have a Redis backend and SignalR, I need web API and I want to use NHibernate. What if you could do that and you could mark it as a favorite? That would be pretty awesome. Problem is that much like eating a banana, there is a timeline where things work out when it comes to shipping software. And Visual Studio has this long ship cycle, about 18 months or so. And then there's this time, there's this window where it's good to check stuff in and it's really useful to get things into the product. And the web doesn't work like that. People are going out of their way to do small, interesting, and influential bits of code that don't fit into the timeline of a large, monolithic IDE. So the IDE is moving away from a monolithic format. It's more like an Eclipse or like a Sublime with a series of plugins, and those plugins load when appropriate. And the ASP.NET team is trying to do that as well. So much so that we've pulled out all the templates and all of ASP.NET out of Visual Studio such that it is effectively an out-of-band piece of Visual Studio that we're going to update. So when ASP.NET 4.5 ships with Visual Studio 2012 very soon, you're not going to see the last of us. You'll see possibly in the winter, maybe quarterly, we're still figuring it out, updates to not only ASP.NET, but the tooling. Because the tooling we've put a lot of work into, but the web continues to move faster. So if Visual Studio is updating every 18 months, we don't want to necessarily change everything about ASP.NET every 6 months, but we do want to recognize that there's interesting work going on. Small pieces of work that are influential and exciting, like client-side templates, rewrites to jQuery, new mobile techniques, things like Ember, things like Backbone, client-side MVC. We want to make a product that people in the enterprise can count on, but we also want one where we can surf the speed of the web at the same time. And doing that in a modular fashion is, I think, the way that we're going to be able to pull that off. So, you know, this is just brainstorming, but, you know, some kind of catalog all powered by NuGet where you could go and rather than, say, file a new project and have a fork in the road, you would pick from a series of pluggable bits, and those bits could all plug into a central core. So, for example, here I could take an empty project and install web pages, MVC, and web form and have them all work together. Now, this is a vision, this is a dream, this is something that we're working on. We might not ship it by Christmas, we might not ship it by next summer, but this is a direction that we want to go because people want choice. And if we're going to be open source, being open source is a part of that, but also being a member of the community is a part of that. And I want you guys to know this. And NuGet is really doing a great job right now. I think, let me look at the stats here for NuGet. If we go to stats.nuget.org, take a look at what's going on over here. I think NuGet's got something like 6 million, 6 million downloads right now. We'll see if everyone's going to hit the thing at the exact same time. And I couldn't be happier with NuGet, but NuGet putting open source libraries up there is just part of it. I'm not sure if folks have downloaded WebMatrix yet, but it's using NuGet in a pretty creative way as well, I'll show you. While the NuGet statistics are coming up, I'm going to go ahead and just launch WebMatrix. And when I fire up WebMatrix, we are getting a lag? All right. Should I slow down, or what should I do if we have a lag? Okay. If I click on Gallery in WebMatrix, this extension gallery is itself powered by NuGet. So you can go into WebMatrix now, click on Gallery, and download an iPhone simulator or Power Tools for Node.js, all with NuGet underneath it. Git for WebMatrix. WebMatrix is giving us a bit of a playground for doing stuff that you might see in future versions of Visual Studio. So I would encourage you to check out WebMatrix as well as a lightweight tool for some of the sites that you're doing. And the fact that NuGet is powering this isn't an obvious thing. It's not obvious at all, in fact, which is kind of cool. We've got a lot of really interesting ideas around NuGet that we're going to be able to do. Looks like I've gone and I've crashed our stats site here. So much for that master plan. Bring that up later if it works. And people have probably heard that ASP.NET MVC, Web Pages, Razor, and Web API are all open source with contributions. And this is just one example of what we're open sourcing, and hopefully we'll have more things to share with you soon. Because open source is not just about releasing the source and getting it out there, but it's also about acting in a transparent way. Now, here we go. Here's the stats for NuGet. Turns out it was bigger than I thought. It's 15 million, almost 16 million package downloads. So we're doing pretty well on NuGet. But more than just downloading libraries, it's also interesting in NuGet to be using it for stuff like WebMatrix. And I'll show you some more examples as well. Now, I was at a conference recently, and after the talk, this guy said, why you no show new stuff? So I thought I would show you some new stuff, and hopefully this will work out. And Javier, maybe you can sit with me here, and we'll kind of go through it, and I'll show you new stuff, and you can tell me whether or not the lag is a problem. All right? Okay, cool. So we'll just run through these as fast as my up-speed connection can handle it. See how we can do this here. Okay, so how many monitors does one man need? Let me see here. Okay, so let's talk about new stuff. Here we go. Here's something fun you guys might get a kick out of. These are things that you don't have right now. These are things that you hopefully haven't seen yet, or unless you've watched every single presentation that we've got. Here at ASPConf, you haven't seen. So this is what you will get when you say file new project in Visual Studio, hopefully, if we pull this off. So I'm going to just go ahead and run this. Let me know when that's updated, Javier. Okay. So here's a standard, page for a default ASP.NET site. In this case, it's a web forms page. But I'm going to click on login over here. And look what's going on the right-hand side. Use another service to log in. So I'm going to click on Twitter. I'm going to log into the default application from Twitter. Register with your Twitter account as Hanselman. And now look over here, it says, hello, Hanselman. I can click on that. Tell me if you can see this over here. I can add additional external logins like Facebook and Google and log in with those as well. Localhost is asking for some information for your Google account. Allow. So now I've registered two external logins with my default application. This is actually using ASP.NET membership. We've got one additional table and a small change to membership, and you'll be able to take your existing applications and have this feature as well. This is going to be by default, so everyone will get social logins by default when they start with a new ASP.NET application. If I go down here to the global ASAX, you can see we've kind of tidied things up a little bit. It's not quite as complicated. We're implementing that default app start folder that was pioneered by David Ebo. As Damian Edwards says, all of this in the new default templates. So we take a look here at register OpenAuth, and you can see where I've added in Twitter, Facebook, and Microsoft, as well as Google. You can plug in your own authentication clients if you want, but you're going to get these out of the box, and these are using an open source library called .NET OpenAuth by the very, very talented Andrew Arnott. So all out of the box. And here I'm using web forms to do this. You'll get this with MVC and web, and you have this with web pages as well. So that's pretty awesome. This is a comparatively small thing, but when you add up dozens of small things like this, you get a much more interesting, much more pluggable, much more agile framework. By the way, notice also up here at the top of the screen where I've got Google Chrome, if you haven't played with Visual Studio 2012, see how I can pull this down? I've got iPhone in here, I've got Safari, I've got Opera. I could go and run this exact same application on an iPhone. And here's the Electric Plum mobile simulator from iPhone as well. And log in to these services from here. So now I've got a mobile-friendly environment with mobile logins and social logins, and I'm able to debug it on my Windows box with help from our partners at Electric Plum. Very, very cool stuff. And I was able to switch my default browser in a very, very easy way from right here. I could even click on Browse With if I wanted to and pick multiple defaults and then have multiple browsers pop up. I could say Chrome and Firefox, hit Browse. See, it says multiple browsers and then those will both fire up. It's just a small example of kind of smoothing the way. We've gone through the entire kind of web development process and tried to make changes. If you saw Mads Christensen's talk, he speaks about this a little bit around some of the cool CSS features that they've added. So for example, here is the CSS editor. And we've gone through the CSS editor, the HTML editor, the JavaScript editor, and made sure that you've got the kinds of features that you would expect across them all. You wouldn't go to the C# editor and feel like it's more advanced. If you can go to definition in C#, you should be able to go to definition in JavaScript. The CSS editor is just crazy innovative. You've got things like color picker. These are the colors that have actually been populated from this document. If I pull that down, I can pick those colors and they'll change. I can even do things like opacity, switching from hex to RGBA. We've got extensive snippets. I've got this build boogered up, so I don't have that. But let me try. Let's try border radius. We've got here's an opportunity. Let me do this, guys. Since it's just us, let me bring up a virtual machine of a newer build of Visual Studio. Let me know when this VM has started up. If you can see this, okay, guys. So this is actually newer than the RC, so I'm showing you guys a new build that is quite a bit newer, and it looks like I'm a victim of software counterfeiting. So that sucks for me. Can you see this okay? Okay, good. So here's my virtual machine here. I'm going to go in and show you some prototype work that Mads has been doing on the CSS editor. So I'm inside of a newer build, and this build has some extensions. If I go to Tools, Extensions, and Updates, you'll see there's a number of things in here that you may not have seen before, like Web Developer Tools, Web Languages, Visual Studio Extensions, Web Essentials. These are some experiments. We'll roll all of this up into something. We don't know what we'll call it, but it'll be some kind of web update. Maybe it'll be Visual Studio 2012.1. Who knows? But it'll have small changes. So look at this this new CSS editor. We've got our CSS color picker that I just showed you. You've got a eyedropper where I can go and pick colors from the screen. We've also got color swatches on the side, so you can actually see the hex. When a hex value shows up, you can see a small color swatch on the side of what that color is. And then I've got a little drop down here where I can switch depending on how I've decided to go and do my work. I could just go and switch that to HSL, or I could switch that to short hex. I can go into the Solution Explorer here and pull down images. And as I hover over these images, notice that we're actually getting a preview of the image as we hover over it. Now, if I want to go and make a background image, I could just pick this up and drop it into my CSS. And I've got a background image. And if I hover over that, I'll actually get a preview of that image as well. Now, I'm a big fan of Sublime Text and text editors like that as much as the next person. I use Sublime all the time. I've got it pinned to my taskbar. But there's a difference between like real intelligence about the source material, like in this case, a deep ingrained programmatic knowledge of CSS, versus being really a really great editor. I can also click here and say, I want to take this tiny PNG. This PNG is arguably small enough that it might even be smaller than an HTTP header. And I'll just go and embed that directly in the CSS as base64 data. And notice that I hover over it and I still see what that image looks like. And then we've got a well-known and well-respected IE6 hack below to make sure that this still works. The other nice thing that Mads has been playing with is notice if I hover over these settings. Let's do one like border radius I was trying to do before. I'm gonna hit border radius. You see that? I'm gonna hit tab, watch. Notice that Moz border radius and WebKit border radius, the two vendor-specific ones there, are grayed out a little bit. And I'm gonna go and type in 10 pixels and hit enter, and you'll notice that the vendor-specific ones stayed in line. They were in lockstep. Change it to 15, hit enter. Nice little simplification there. I can hover over border radius, and I can actually see knowledge about what browsers that feature is supported on. So I'm getting knowledge about can I use, websites like that, baked into Visual Studio there. Now notice if I take Moz border radius and break it out to have its own value, it brightens up. So border radius now is in lockstep with WebKit. But if I bring Moz border radius back in, now it's playing appropriately. This is just one example of some of the really, really cool features that we're thinking about and working on for a potential release post Visual Studio 2012. And we want to work with you guys on ideas beyond that. Here's a less application. So you've got the same CSS support that you expect. You've got collapsible areas. You've got hierarchies. But you've also got .less. And here we've got mixins and variables all inside of Visual Studio. I talked about NuGet a little bit. Hopefully you guys have played with the quick launch window up here. This lets you kind of Google with Bing all of Visual Studio. So if someone says, can you change your JavaScript references? I could type in JavaScript and it'll go and search Visual Studio itself and find text editor JavaScript formatting or text editor JavaScript general, and I can go right to it. So instead of saying, where do I go to find fonts and say tools, options, environment, fonts, and colors, I just type in fonts and I go right there. But what if you could extend that? What if that box becomes a place where you could ask other questions? What if I wanted to go and download jQuery Mobile? And I type in jQuery Mobile, and it actually queries NuGet itself. Hopefully you guys have all downloaded NuGet 2.0. I would encourage you to do that, especially if you're overseas or in a low bandwidth situation, because the payload for querying NuGet is a lot smaller, particularly around IntelliSense and completion. So I've typed in jQuery right there. Let's type in jQuery by itself, get NuGet. And then the Visual Studio Gallery is even being queried. So I can go and search for something like JavaScript. Or let's do T4. I've got NuGet packages, and I've got the Visual Studio Gallery, all being queried from within Visual Studio. These quick launch features are pluggable. So you can turn them on and off. You see there where it says enable the following providers. So I've got a shortcut for NuGet. I can type in NuGet Hanselman, go and query NuGet, and you can see a phone app scaffolder. Or I can search for MADS. And, why MADS? You don't have anything up there. Let's try jQuery. And here's a bunch of jQuery packages, even ones that have jQuery in the description and not in the title. Super, super awesome. And we're hoping to get that so I can click on it and have it work immediately. If I go and type in T4, I could go and bring in the tangible T4 editor or Visual T4 and launch it directly from the gallery. And I'm still a victim of software counterfeiting. Okay, notice over on the right-hand side here, I'm going to just use the keyboard. You can't see my hands, but I'm not using the mouse. The mouse is not moving there. I'm just going to move around with the keyboard. Notice how I can open up on the right-hand side there. And I'm moving within methods. So the Solution Explorer and the Class Explorer are one thing now, and I can look at those directly. I'm moving through index and about and contact just with the keyboard. But I don't have that experience of tab bankruptcy. That's that tab bankruptcy where you double-click and you double-click and you double-click and you wander around and then you go, I've got way too many windows open. And then you say window, close all windows. These are just small changes, but they make me really happy. These are kind of like the happy little changes about Visual Studio that I'm more worried about than the all caps menu. I'm sure there'll be a way to fix that. Let's do this. Let me pause this virtual machine. And let me show you another fun feature that you haven't seen yet. This is something that Damian Edwards is working on. And we don't know, again, I can't tell you when all of these things are going to ship. I can just tell you that we think that they're awesome. Okay. So let's see if this works here. So here's a sample site. And I'll go ahead and run this site in click Chrome. Okay, then I'll bring up Chrome. Tell me when that's updated, Javier. I'm going to assume that that's updated. See how it says foo.aspx? That's because there's a file called foo.aspx. This is web forms. But I'm going to remove foo.aspx and just make it foo. And then I'll click on this click me and look at the status bar there at the bottom. You see where it says foo/bar/34? We're on the foo.aspx page. But the URL doesn't represent it. This is more than just routing, which ASP.NET web forms developers have had available to them, have said that they've wanted, but haven't actually used since .NET 3.5 SP1. This is something that what used to be called Smarty Routes, and now it's called ASP.NET Friendly URLs, and we're trying to figure out how we want to ship it and how we want to make it work. But it brings something really, really interesting to the web forms developer who wants to have a web forms experience but a really, really great clean URL experience as well. So here I've said /foo/bar/34. Anything in the first URL segment will automatically go to foo.aspx. So if it was bar, it would go to bar.aspx. But we've got additional segments in the URL here. That's really, really interesting. Take a look at this. We've got for each segment in request.friendly URL segments. Time for me to shut off my link there. Not following my own rules of presenting. And then here we've got friendly URL href, and we can go and build up that URL. Now here's the part where it gets really interesting. If I say switch to mobile, let's go ahead and look at this exact same thing on an iPhone. Oh, that's a shame. Oh, there we go. Foo. There we go. So look at the URL. foo/bar/34. So we've got foo/bar/34. We're in mobile, in web forms. And we've ended up launching the mobile page. So you're getting a mobile experience just like the one that you get in ASP.NET MVC. So web forms developers can create not only sites that have friendly URLs, they can manipulate the friendly URL segment in a very friendly way that's familiar to them, but they can also make mobile sites like this. So foo.aspx got requested when we said foo in the desktop, and foo.mobile.aspx got requested when we got it in the iPhone simulator. Again, the iPhone simulator is from Electric Plum, and I brought it down with NuGet using Web Matrix, so you can check that out. So that's something that Damien's working on, and it's super interesting, and he's got some samples here. The sample that we just showed you there was actually in .NET 4. So he's got a sample for both .NET 4 and 4.5. And we think people are going to dig that as well. And there'll be a mobile view switcher that's been implemented as a user control. And for those of you that are having fun talking about the all caps stuff, I think that of all the things that I've shown, whether or not the caps are there is probably the least interesting of them. But I could probably go up here and say hide menu, and then search Visual Studio Gallery and hide the menu completely if it really bothered you. Or use anything like Visual Studio commands to change that. I honestly think that all caps are the least of our problems right now. We should be focusing on functionality and not aesthetics. So that's the ASP.NET friendly URL stuff, which I think is pretty rockin' sweet. So kudos to Damien for that. So we've seen some stuff from Damien. We've seen some stuff from Mads. These are all kind of things that they're thinking about doing that haven't actually done. It's about making your life easier. Exactly. Thank you very much. Let's go and make a new project, and we'll go to web. And I'll just make an empty one here, just for now. Actually, you know what I'll do? Rather than an empty one, I'll make a web API project. Here's the MVC4 dialogue. I'm hoping that all of these dialogues will be integrated, so that when we say file new ASP.NET application, we'll pick from an integrated, unified location and we'll be able to put in the things that we want. And I'll hit OK. You notice in the lower left-hand corner, it's going and bringing the NuGet packages that we need for this particular project and creating this project. This is going to be an ASP.NET web API project. And when you're doing work with something like a web API or working with like the Twitter API or something like that, you often find yourself wanting to deserialize objects in a way that works, because you're going back and forth between JSON and C sharp. So for example here, let's say public class person and we'll say person has some stuff. And then the values controller here, I'm just going to hit Control H, and you'll notice up here in the upper right corner, we're going to use the new search and replace stuff. As I'm typing, it's looking that up. I'll change that to a person controller. IEnumerable will return person rather than a string. Okay, so there's a person and here's some other people. Are you losing my audio? You can hear me now. Okay, it might be auto, it might be trying to like make it quieter because I am typing. Warn me again if that appears to happen, okay? Good. So here I've got a bunch of persons, a bunch of people that are all being returned from a get. By virtue of the fact that it's called get, this API controller is automatically going to return these people. So let's go ahead and look at this in Google Chrome. Google Chrome's a little easier when you return JSON from stuff, and I'll say /API/person. And automatically I get back XML representations of this. I've got an XML representation of that array of person. Now I can take this information now, and I'll load up Fiddler. So now I'm in Fiddler. And I'm going to say accept JSON. So I'm saying I don't really want XML, I want JSON. Now I've got the exact same thing as JSON. So I've asked for one endpoint, and I've asked for a resource from one endpoint. You can imagine that I might ask for it as a V card and get back a V card. You can imagine that I might ask for a PNG and get back a picture of these people. I want to go and take one of these people and go back over here, and I want to put a breakpoint here on line 38. So I want to actually post a person directly to this location. Okay? We're going to post to the same URL, and just by virtue of the fact that it's called post, it'll go there. So let's go back over into Fiddler. And one of the things that's nice about Fiddler, actually people don't realize that you can do, is you can actually pick up a call that you liked and drag and drop it. I've seen a lot of people do this in a manual way. You can just drag and drop it there. And we're going to change this get to a post. I'm going to post in a new person. And I'm going to say that the content type of this is JSON. So I'm saying that the payload of this is JSON. So we're going to post to the same URL. Yes, sir. Okay, that's fine. So I'm going to hit execute. And notice that I've broken right there on post. Same URL. So you've got this nice convention-based model in Web API. Here's the part that I think is yummy. Because C# has this balance between being a static language and all the speed and the power that goes along with it, but also the kind of unused power of the dynamic keyword, the unexploited power of the dynamic keyword, in my opinion. So we'll talk about that a little bit, but you can know that you could do a model binding here, not against a person, but rather against a JSON value. I'm going to hover over that, and look. The JSON is automatically turned into a C# object of an appropriate shape. Because person was shaped the same, the model binder handled it for us. And we've got posting of a person directly here. So that's pretty cool. But what if it's complicated? Again, you see the Microsoft guy go off and do these things, and then you say, wow, but then the object becomes really complicated, and it doesn't really reflect reality, and it becomes too unruly. Well, you could use dynamic objects, and you could certainly find your way around that with dynamic. But what if you went up somewhere like Twitter? Here's an example of a tweet. A lot of people pick on Twitter, and myself included, and they say, how come they aren't scaling well? Because it's only got 140 characters they have to worry about. Well, it turns out that the metadata associated with the tweet is actually quite large. So this is a sample that I've copy-pasted directly from the Twitter website. Okay, this is an example. This is an instance of JSON. I'll copy-paste this in here. And I'll stick it down here at the end. Now, this is the JSON that I've copy-pasted down here. I've done a couple of things wrong. Of course, you can see that I've pasted it in the middle of my C# file. And then I've also kept those line numbers that I copy-pasted from on the website. So I'm going to hold down the Alt key, and I'm going to do a rectangular selection in order to get rid of that. Sometimes it's fun to use features that have been in Visual Studio for 7 or 8 years and just remind people that they're there so that they know that they can use them. So I've just removed that little chunk of text there. And now I'm going to go and copy-paste this back. I'm going to pull this back out. Now, instead of pasting, I'm going to try one of Mads's extensions. These are the little kind of things that we try to put in Visual Studio to make you happy. You can go to presentations, and you can go to TechEd, and you can see the giant stuff that we've done. And there's big stuff. To be clear, there's background GC, and there's amazing work with await and async. But little things like this make your day-to-day life easier. So there, we've just pasted an instance of some JSON into class definitions of that JSON that would then serialize into that format. Paste JSON as class. This is a kind of a playground example. This is a currently implemented as a small extension. But this is the kind of stuff that we're going to hopefully see on a regular basis. And we'll try to bring it into some format within the kind of Web Essentials name or the web tooling that we've externalized. So remember when I said before how I really want to change this dialog box. This dialog box is not going to change for the release of Visual Studio 2012. But this dialog box could absolutely change post-2012. And by post-2012, fortunately, I don't mean 2014. I mean maybe Christmas, maybe spring. We want to be able to make good things happen to Visual Studio such that if you're on the bleeding edge and you want to use new and interesting stuff, you can do that. And if you are not quite on the bleeding edge and you want to count on things, you can absolutely count on Visual Studio. One of the nice things about .NET 4.5, of course, is that it is an upgrade to .NET 4, and a lot of these features that you can do, you can run your .NET 4 application and it will work as before, but then you can add in new features like routing, features like SmartyRoute, features like web forms model binding. You can add those features after the fact. I think it's pretty cool stuff. So let me show you one more fun thing that just makes me proud to be a .NET programmer. And I've only shown this to a couple of folks over in Scotland in my trip last week, but I thought you guys might get a kick out of it because Damian Edwards, myself, Rafael Rivera, and David Fowler have put work into this, and we've got all this particular code I'm going to show you up on GitHub. And this is kind of not an ASP.NET project at all, but it makes a really interesting statement about the ideas that I've talked about where it's all one ASP.NET. And I would even go so far as to say it's one .NET. I am unapologetically a C# developer. I know IL. I've forgotten a lot of C++. I've written some really bad Python. I'm a lousy Ruby programmer, but I know C#. And a lot of ASP.NET programmers feel guilty, they feel sad, they feel alone in their technology choice. And they might say, well, I'm just a web forms programmer at Little Debbie Snack Cakes. How could I go and build an interesting end-to-end scenario that does something complicated? Well, you know C#. People need to give themselves credit for the power of the .NET ecosystem itself. So let me show you something that I built. This is my cart. Remember I told you at the beginning of the talk that I work remotely. This is the account at work that my cart talks on. So I'm going to go and call this cart, and I've got a little WPF application. There we go. Can you guys still hear me? Just chat me and tell me you can still hear me, because now I'm talking to myself in Redmond. Yes. Okay. So this is my office right now in Seattle. And there you see, there a guy just walked by. So this is my office in Seattle, and I just wrote a little calm automation thing that talks to this. And I thought that was kind of cool. But I wanted to be able to control this remotely. So I went and wrote a little chunk of code using some open source libraries to control this camera. And I went and made that. Oh, by the way, I wanted to point out something. This is a fairly large project with a lot of things in it. Notice that Visual Studio came up right away and was immediately responsive. We've got asynchronous solution loading happening there. So one of these projects here said loading, even though the Visual Studio was completely usable. The website loaded asynchronously, which I thought was cool. So I've got this core library, and the core library, notice that I can explore it over here without looking at the source. I've got move and I've got zoom. Okay? And then I wrote a little console app, and the little console app would go and move it. Here's the extraordinary source code that I created for this. I know that it may make your eyes burn. It was either that or a switch statement, so I honestly couldn't. It's pretty amazing though, isn't it? It's extraordinary. I'm saying that with tongue firmly in cheek. So this is the console app that controls my camera locally, so I can pan, tilt, zoom my camera. So I said, okay, awesome, I've got this console. Then I went and wrote a little application that would listen to do that on a website. So here's the website. And I've got buttons that are just HTML5, input type equals button, and then I've got data key, data X, data Y. And at the very bottom there, I've got a little bit of JavaScript to go and post that stuff. Very nice. Very simple. I've even got navigation keys so I can use the keyboard to control this thing. However, I need to VPN into work in order to connect to that camera and control it from here in Portland. And that was enough to be annoying that I didn't want to do it. So I thought, how am I going to punch a hole into the firewall here? And remember, I'm just an ASP.NET programmer. But so far, I've got a little class library that's reusable. I've got a console app. I've got a website. I went and, with my advanced, highly advanced XAML skills, I drug six buttons onto a grid. This is what the maker of Baby Smash is able to do in XAML. Again, I'm trying to point out that this is not complicated stuff. Okay? And we thought to ourselves, how are we going to talk to this remote location? Well, David Fowler had the idea to use SignalR. And if you haven't checked out SignalR, I would encourage you to check it out. He said, let's relay up to Azure and then back down. Look, hey, they're in the room. That's so awesome. Okay, so there's David Fowler right there, and there's John Galloway. Apparently not working right now. But back to work. So I'm going to log into Azure. That's awesome. So here's Azure. Oh, that's fantastic. Thanks for doing that. So see where it says Hanselman Link Relay? I've got this application that's running up in the cloud. That's a tiny little free website that's running up in Azure. And I've deployed it with Git. Now, those buttons that we just looked at, those controller buttons, they're going to go and use async and await, and they're going to go and post a move up to SignalR. They're going to say, go and move. Move and zoom. And then on the other side, there's an application that's running, a listener. And that is, look at lines 58 through 65. That is saying, on the event move, call my little library. The same little library that I use on the website, the same little library that we use on the console app. Here's the best part. What does the code look like on the server? What would a cloud-based, scalable, multi-camera relay hub server look like? That's it. That's the entire thing. It's as if the cameras are in a chat room together. And the group name is just the computer that has the camera on it. So I can now control an infinite number of cameras if I like to, and I've got SignalR doing it. Literally, three lines of code and three functions. And I submitted it up to Azure using the free websites that I've got with my three-month trial or whatever I've got on Azure. So let's see if this thing will actually work. So you see these buttons here. These are WPF buttons. They're actually transparent. So what I like to do is I'll hover them over here and pretend that they're integrated into Link. Absolutely. So right now, this means that I don't need to have VPN open to work. I can go and control these. I can just run these buttons. I'm posting JSON automatically up to Azure, relaying it back down into work and controlling this camera remotely. And I did it all, not because I'm clever, but because I know C#. And I was able to put up a website using Git in about 5 minutes. And the total amount of time I put into this was four nights of about 3 hours each with the help of a couple of friends. Really, really fun, interesting project that made me feel enabled as a developer, because as a C# developer, I don't get to do stuff like this all the time. But then I realized with C# I can use Netduino, and I can use WPF, and I can use Windows 8 Metro apps, and I can use ASP.NET and MVC and SignalR and Web API. I can do JSON-based APIs. I can do XML-based SOAP stuff and enterprises. The world is my oyster, and it is just so darn satisfying to be able to control this stupid thing without any browser windows, without any VPN in. And of course, VB counts too. So yeah, don't feel bad about that. So thanks, guys, very much for chatting with me today. And I hope that you enjoy the rest of your wonderful ASPConf. And we'll talk to you again soon. Sure. I mean, do we have time? Sure. How are we? How do you want to do it? Is this like a live meeting question thing? And or Jabber? Here we go. I see some questions. Do you want to do this? Let me do these here because they can see them. Okay. Do I have an exact date? I have no idea. Whenever Windows 8 comes out, so I don't know. Soon. Enterprise, we need to know that we can rely on, what to rely on and what to stay away from. Microsoft submitted 3 plugins to jQuery. I don't know what happened to those plugins. Any politics going on? That's a good question. I don't know that one, jQuery Addict. Talk to Damian Edwards or Boris Rivers Moore. But you can definitely count on the ones that we ship. As far as plugins, I mean, jQuery plugins are always a bit of a crapshoot. You have to just get a sense of whether or not it's being supported and it's being cared about or not. Knockout and SignalR being embraced and shipped out of the box. Yeah, so whenever we ship something out of the box, we're not screwing around. It will be supported down the line. Heavily spoiled by refactoring tools. When are you going to have full-fledged JavaScript refactoring tooling? I don't know. That's a good question. I would probably ask Jonathan Carter, but I know that they're working on making JavaScript, you know, a really full first-class language. You can do some amazing stuff with JavaScript in Windows 8, and they're making it so you can write actual Windows apps, full-on Windows apps in JavaScript. So I can only assume that they want to continue to make JavaScript pretty awesome. Clean-cut guideline, when to use Web API versus MVC. Well, it's absolutely not two teams competing with each other because they are, in fact, the same team. MVC is great for making model view controller applications that have views, and Web API is for doing any kind of JSON-based or REST-based services. MS-ASP OAuth integration available for... No, is it available now? Well, okay, so it's available now in that... It has been available for many years in the form of .NET OpenAuth. It's the intent to release some support for the OAuth stuff that you saw, but Damian Edwards ultimately owns that and will decide. Will the OAuth bits be available in the August RTM? Damian would be able to tell you that, but I believe that that is the goal. But again, because the templates are out of band, we can update them after the fact. Why no Windows Phone? I've got Windows Phone right here. I just didn't want to necessarily run it. I've got the phone running, but I can't run it at the same time as my VirtualBox VM because I can't run two VirtualBoxes. I can't run two VMs at the same time. That's why I didn't use Windows Phone for that example. But yeah, I mean, more power to you. No, mobile view for web forms is not available now. That friendly URL stuff, again, is a spike. But I'm hoping to see lots of exciting small things like that coming out, you know, between now and Christmas and now and winter, as well as next spring. Yeah, I wish I had it today, too. Can you do paste JSON to class method again, please? So there's the JSON. Paste JSON as classes. That's something that Mads is doing, and if it's robust enough, we'll hopefully wrap it up and include it as part of the kind of the Web Essentials web tooling update that we'll release at some point in the future. Few dialogues. Will we ever get new versions of tools, fonts, colors, tools, keyboards, tiny lists, huge number of items, resizing? Honestly, I don't know, Miroslav. I don't work on that team, but talk to Lisa Feigenbaum and or the at Visual Studio Twitter account. They do monitor that, and they answer that. They own that that stuff. When will we get PasteJSON as class? Well, everyone loves PasteJSON as class, so we'll make sure we put pressure on Mads to ship that. How does this... camera receive the commands again. The camera receives the commands via JSON over SignalR. Remember that even though SignalR is using HTTP and JSON, there's no reason that you have to use JavaScript to post JSON over HTTP. SignalR is blessed to support not just JavaScript, but also iOS. You can have iPhone SignalR clients using an open source library for that. You can use C#. You can use Metro style applications. You can do all sorts of stuff. Hi, Casual Bob. How safe would it be to use Visual Studio 2012 and abandon Visual VS 10? You know, I'm sure that in the release candidate there are still bugs and there's always going to be something that could hurt you, but it is the intent of 2012 to be absolutely compatible such that when you say file new project, you can pick .NET 2, 3, 3, 5, 4, and 4, 5 applications, as well as round trip them. So you can open an application in .NET 4 from Visual Studio 2010, Service Pack 1, open it in 2012, finish it, and then give it back to a friend who has Visual Studio 2010, and you've round-tripped it. You do not have to convert your projects when you open them in 2012. So how safe is it? I don't know. It depends on your tolerance for pain. I would say probably 90% safe. If you're doing any kind of crazy, low-level, deep reflection or calling private APIs, there are no guarantees that those APIs didn't move out from underneath you. But that's part of what happens when you call private APIs. Will web APIs support more filters other than top filter and order by? I don't know. That would be a question for Heinrich Nielsen and the web API team and on their CodePlex page. But I do know that those are the most popular filters to give you an OData style URL, and web API's intent is to support the parts of OData that make sense. Yes, every single thing that I just showed you will work in VB as well. Absolutely. Beyond Demo's architectural plea for comprehensive best practices sample for MVC for with mobile, not Music Store. Well, that's a good question. I mean, how big do you want it to get? I mean, you can do nerd dinner and stuff. Do you want like a complete like startup? Do I need to quit Microsoft, start a company, and then release the application? How big? Are we looking at enterprise, multi-layer? Are you needing a big hybrid app? How complicated? When people say they want samples, give us an idea of how complicated a sample is, because we want it to be complicated enough that it's real, but not so complicated that you can't pick it up. Anthony, Steve Sanderson presented single page web apps a few months ago. Any ideas what happened with that project? Yeah, the spa template, single page applications, that was removed from RC because we didn't feel that it was ready. And because we've got that ability now to ship things out of band, we wanted to bake it more, get it right, and then ship it after the fact. So spa is not dead. They're still working on it, but it's not baked to the point where we wanted to release it with RTM. So yes, it is still out there, and you'll have, you know, history support and hash bangs and all that good single page app Gmail looking applications. Any news on Silverlight? I don't work on the Silverlight team, and I honestly my abilities in Silverlight are basically using Netflix. So I'm not a person to ask questions of Silverlight. On, I'm afraid not. Yeah, MVC4 will be released with 2012. The camera and the signal, so the signal, the confusion about the SignalR thing. So the idea is that there's buttons that I run on my machine. Then there's a listener where the camera is sitting over in Seattle. And the camera, the listener in Seattle is just a WPF app. And over here, it's just a WPF app. It's just buttons. And then there is a relay up in Azure. And it sits up in Azure. And we basically just have JSON go up to here, and it listens. So imagine that there's a connection directly from the buttons into the WPF camera looking application here. This is the app that controls the camera. And we're sending JSON over that. But think about it in terms of two people. This is a person in a chat room, and this is a person in a chat room. So when the buttons say, hey, move, he says, oh, I just saw someone say move, so I'll move. That's how that works. So yes, the camera's a SignalR client. Any OData query support? Yes, apparently, like I said before, they are working on adding some URL support for OData in web forms, and not web forms, in web API. SAS less. Auto builds of CoffeeScript and less and things like that. So you could do that now, trivially, just like this. So here is using bundling and minification, and here is a CoffeeScript file, and you could just make a coffee minify, and all it has to do is just call a CoffeeScript compiler and implement, you know, derive from JS minify. You can do the exact same thing with things like less or sass. So here I'm just doing less.parse using .less and processing less files directly as well as minifying them. So you're getting the CoffeeScript compilation and as well as the minification. So Are we planning? Yeah, go ahead. Am I going too? Sorry, I'm going as fast as I can. Well, I'll go even faster. Is a camera sample available to download? Yes, github.com/Shantzelman. Are there any other paste to class items? I think there already is a paste XML to class, but if you wanted one, talk to Mads, work on it. Remember, guys, that it's open source, so we need to work on these things together. Asking is one thing, working on it together is another. Need a guideline on when to use Web API versus WCF REST. I think doing REST Web API is the way to go forward. Doing SOAP, I think WCF is the way to go forward. That's my opinion. Why can I not see this conference on an Android device? Because it uses live meeting. Am I the only developer that likes all caps? Yes, you are the only one, Jimmy. I don't know anything about WIF on MVC4. Probably not out of the box, but you could certainly download a template after the fact. You can scale out SignalR on web farms. You could do them with SQL Server, Azure Service Bus, or Redis. So you could write your own, but right now Redis, SQL Server, or Azure Service Bus is how you scale it out. We talked about Web API, OData. I don't know when Join will be there, but you could certainly ask Heinrich and that team. Any advantage of including jQuery as NuGet packs versus hard-coded? CDN is a very personal issue, so I don't think there's any value in favoring one CDN over the other. What is my favorite joke? Two cannibals are eating a clown, and one says, "Does this taste funny to you?" Is there a simple future roadmap? Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not a Windows 8 guy, so I can't tell you about Windows 8 stuff because I just don't know. Try Tim Heuer. Quick launch. Can you point to a local NuGet server? Yes, absolutely you could. It's just going to query NuGet. It'll do it from the NuGet stuff that's set up in the NuGet library stuff. And yes, Scotland was lovely. I don't think VS does detect when the CSS embedded images change. So if the image changes right now, there's no way, there's no metadata, you would have to regenerate that. I mentioned less than SAS already. We might not support it, but that's the kind of thing where the community can step up. Is it possible to add additional vendor prefixes? We've already added all Opera prefixes, so all major vendors are added, but yes, they could certainly be added after the fact. For samples, make a front end to a Northwinder adventure works. That would exhaust all the CRUD features. Most main change in Visual Studio about Ajax, the most important new tool. I would say really, really, really good JavaScript IntelliSense. What about security? We go through the same security passes and the same kind of security gates that we always do. So there's nothing new around security, but there's nothing old. We don't mess around when it comes to security. Yeah, JavaScript refactoring would be awesome. Yes, again, the camera application is open sourced at GitHub on my website. Thank you. Minification sucks much less in 2012. Minification is very nice. Are any of these features for Visual Studio 2010? No. Everything that we're doing going forward is 2012, but that's the nice thing is that you can use 2012 to use your 2010 stuff. 1 foot. Thank you, Bart. This will be the last question, except for these other questions. No SQL? Don't know. OAuth? Yes, it'll be built in to the project template. That'll be the goal. And we're going to take this one offline because this is super long, but I'm going to copy-paste that because this is good information. Thank you, Paul. All right, that was a lot. That was pretty good, wasn't it? I'm going to be done now. Paul, follow up with me on Twitter. Are we good? Did everyone leave?